This morning, I'm going to be talking about a movie called The Secret, and as it relates to the book of Colossians. And what prompted me to talk about this movie comes out of two trips that I've made over the past couple of years, one to Las Vegas, Nevada, and one to Sarasota, Florida. And I had a good reason for going to Las Vegas. Don't put me in that category. I attended the World Juggling Federation's training camp with my dad for a week. And while I was there, I met a professional juggler who at the end of the week decided that he wanted to pass out a free DVD of his own material along with a copy of the movie called The Secret. He asked me if I had ever heard of this movie, and I said no, I hadn't heard of that ever before. And he said, oh, you've got to watch this movie. I remember him saying something about manifestations. I remember exactly what he said, but I immediately in my mind was like, it's probably something demonic. But I didn't say that to him. I didn't want to, you know, burn a relationship right away. And so the Mennonite in me is like, you know, latches on to anything that's free because it's definitely within my price range. So I took the movie and his DVD, and I had my laptop with me, and as my dad and I drove home, I popped it in and started watching it in the car. And I could, through the tape adapter, plug the sound into the car speakers, and so he could listen to it. And my dad and I both had some interesting comments to make about this movie as it went on. Got kind of excited about it, was kind of conflicted about it, because it seemed like there was a little bit of truth in it, but there was kooky things in it too, and it's like, well, what do I do with this? Because it sounded like something I could read right out of the Bible. So I didn't, after I got home, I kind of forgot about it after a couple weeks, and didn't think about it really that much until I took my next trip to just recently down to Sarasota, Florida. And this time I traveled with my mom. We drove down there, and as luck would have it, I needed to buy some new tennis shoes because mine were getting wore out. And so we go to the mall. And when we go into the mall, there was these two ladies with a big display set up selling skincare products. And she's like, would you like a free sample of some lotion? It's free, right? So, yeah. So I held up my hand, and she put some on my hand, and she looked at my hand, and she's like, why is your hand so dry? And I said, well, I've had a skin problem since I was born. And so the conversation led to me buying some products, and she, during the conversation, she asked me, have you ever seen the movie called The Secret? To think a little bit. Yeah, I've seen that movie. And she goes, watch it again. Everything in that movie is true. So again, I thought to myself, I'm sorry, the universe does not rearrange itself to give me what I want as long as I think about it long enough. That doesn't happen for anybody. That's what this movie teaches. And you'd think I wouldn't have ever thought that there was kind of a partial truth mixed in with this movie, except they were saying things like, whatever you think about, that's whatever you're dwelling on, that's what you're going to attract into your life. And the movie is about the law of attraction, and they've called that The Secret. So my interest in this movie was revived a little bit, and I decided I wanted to watch it again. So I went home, when I got back to Columbus, I was looking online at some videos on GodTube.com, and I happened to stumble across an interview that Larry King did with Oprah Winfrey, and in this interview, she made a reference to the law of attraction. And I thought, is she talking about this movie? Turns out that she was. The next day, I went to the Columbus Metropolitan Library in Columbus, and I was looking for a movie I wanted to watch, and after picking out the movie, I was headed to the checkout counter, and lo and behold, there was the movie in book form. I said, there it is again. What in the world is happening? It's coming at me from like all these different directions all at one time. And so I went home and I watched the movie again, got conflicted and excited about it all over again, because it's just there's these kooky things that they say, and but there seems to be like this little bit of truth that's in there, and it's like, well, is that part true? And so it sounded like some Bible verses that I could read right out of the Bible. Verses like Philippians 4:8, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things." And I thought, maybe Paul knew about this, and he's like telling us to meditate on all the good things we attracted into our life, right? And another verse, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." So I had these two verses in mind, and I'm thinking, I need to find out how much truth there is to this. Because if there is, there's this big promise of big things for me, right? And so I began to research out the people that were in this movie. There was a list of 25 teachers in the movie. And I decided that before I make any definite conclusions, I'm going to research these people, see if I can figure out their worldview, figure out if they're Christians or not, figure out what they believe in life, and then maybe I'll gain some wisdom as to what I should think about this movie. So I did that, and the research I turned up turned me completely against the movie, and my intention this morning is to completely tear down anything in that movie. And my guiding verse for today is Colossians 2:8. I remember somebody quoting this verse sometime, and I just remember this verse came to me as I was researching this movie out. "Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ." And in my life, and in as I've grown up in church and studied the Bible, I've, at various times and in various ways, have latched onto a certain verse all by itself and thought it meant all these certain things. And then after you get studying into it and you figure out the context of the whole book and what is going on, you find I didn't mean that at all. So I thought, well, maybe I should get a full understanding of Colossians. And when I did, because I thought, well, is this sounds like, what context is this verse? And so I started reading commentaries on Colossians, and I found out that Paul, who was writing from prison, he found out that the Colossian believers had let a heresy about Christ or some kind of doctrinal heresy creep into their thinking. And so he wrote this letter with a specific intent of tearing down that heresy. We don't know what the heresy was, because he doesn't say what it was. It had to do with Sabbaths and festivals and new moons and self-imposed regulations and all these different things. And so he's writing this letter to encourage the Colossian believers to not be cheated through empty deceit and philosophy. And so I became excited because what I thought about the verse was true. I was like, you know, hey, I actually knew something without actually knowing something. And in my research, I found that the main source for this law of attraction is a lady by the name of Esther Hicks. She is one of the main teachers in this movie. And like the movie, it's not your typical drama movie where you have a sequence of drama scenes all connected to tell a story. It's more of a sit in front of the camera and talk to the camera. Like a whole bunch of speakers lined up just talking to the camera, teaching this philosophy. And when I researched her, I found out from her website and from other websites that she is the main source, like the main thrust, the biggest proponent of the law of attraction. And she has a website called abraham-hicks.com. Now, she is labeled as the teachings of Abraham in this movie. When I first saw that, I thought, well, is it Abraham in the Bible? She seemed like a really nice lady. She's the kind of person that you really like to hear talk. Like she's really sincere and she sounds so encouraging. And you know, maybe is she a Christian? So who is this Abraham? She's the teacher of the teachings of Abraham. And she has this CD that you can listen to for free on her website. You can click through all the different things and listen to the whole thing. So I decided I'm going to listen to the CD. So I listened to it all the way through while playing Spider Solitaire. And I found out that Abraham is a group of non-physical entities that she channels into for this garbage. And her husband roll out the story of how she made contact with this group called Abraham through a Ouija board, seances, and meditations. Need I say more that I was right that it's probably something demonic? And if you go on her website, this is where the law of attraction goes, where you hold a thought in your mind, and the idea is that your thought has a frequency, and it goes out into the universe, and the universe rearranges itself to bring you what you're thinking about for a prolonged period of time. And if you go on her website, she has all these products you can buy. One is the law of attraction as it regards losing weight. You can, you know, think yourself thin, you know, hold the picture in your mind of you being thin if you're overweight. You can attract money into your life. You can track lifestyle, material goods, whatever it is. You hold it in, you hold it here, you're going to hold it here. And she does seminars across the country in 40 states, all over the country. People go to this. People go to these seminars to ask questions to Abraham. Because she'll stand up there in front, channeling through Abraham, and you can ask Abraham some questions, and I guess the Spirit speaks through her. That is, if you want to believe that. Part of me is skeptical, thinking this is just a money racket, and she's got all these people believing this stuff, and come on. But she also does cruises. You can go on a cruise with Esther Hicks and Abraham and get some your questions to life's answered. Did I say that right? No. And she was the only paid teacher on The Secret. Out of all 25 teachers, she was the only one paid, and she was paid, of the profits, $500,000. And depending on which website you go to, at some point during the marketing of this movie, she decided to cut out and leave it behind. And one website says, well, I wanted to leave because it seemed like an overly aggressive marketing campaign, and it wasn't my style. Another website says she left because of her conflict with her and Rhonda Byrne, who is the producer of the movie, who is an Australian TV producer, who is the one who got the inspiration for this movie, that Esther Hicks felt that she wasn't being paid enough. $500,000, and she thinks she's not being paid enough. You know, I don't think I've ever made that much in my whole life. And so Rhonda Byrne, she got a hold of a book once upon a time, and she calls it the 100-year-old book. And I would say that this is probably the best-kept secret in the movie called The Secret. Because she references this 100-year-old book that she got a glimpse of The Secret. And she became inspired by The Secret and how many people are alive today that know this secret. So she traveled to the United States, found, I think it was a list of 40-some people that she interviewed, cut it down to 25, and those are the ones who made the movie. And if you find out the name of the book that inspired this whole thing, it was called The Science of Getting Rich, by Wallace Wattles. And I believe the movie grossed billions and really took a hold and spread across all over the nation. I mean, in my own experience, I've traveled to opposite ends of the United States and somebody talked to me about this movie. So, what does this have to do with Colossians? Like I said before, it was written to address a doctrinal heresy. And the guiding key verse is Colossians 2:8. And I'm going to be going through the first 10 verses of chapter 2. But before I can go into chapter 2, I got to spend a little bit of time in chapter 1. And I'm going to be basically summing up chapter 1. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Colossians 1. Before I understood what Colossians was written for, it seemed like Colossians was this big pot of stew where Paul adds a little bit of this and adds a little bit of this and stirs it all together, and you have a big pot of stew. And it's like there's nothing to connect anything together, because there's part he talks about wives and husbands and children and bond servants and masters. He talks about self-imposed religion. He talks about Jesus. He talks about this, that, and the other thing. And it's like, well, what does this all have to do with anything? You can take all these verses, and it's great and encouraging. But if you ever read Colossians with the idea that it's written to address a doctrinal heresy, it all connects together in what seems to be a logical thought line. So chapter 1, he starts out his argument. He tells them what he's giving thanks to God for as it concerns the Colossian believers. He tells them what he's praying to God for and asking God for as it concerns the Colossian believers. He tells them who Christ is and what Christ has done as it concerns the Colossian believers. And then he talks about the Father and what he has done as it concerns the Colossian believers. And then he ends off with rejoicing over the mystery that has now been revealed, that has been kept secret for all these ages and is now revealed, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So he starts out the argument by reminding them who Christ is and what Christ has done in their life. And then in chapter 2, he switches. He says, I have a great conflict for you, for you and those in Laodicea. For as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. For this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good work and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware, lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. So he starts off, let me go back here. He starts off with thanks, prayer, who Christ is and what he's done, who the Father is, what he's done, rejoicing over the mystery that has now been revealed. He sets up his argument to tear down what is the conflict he has, that he has for them as he's sitting in prison. And I want to make a special note about verse 2. It says that in Christ, the Father in Christ, is hidden all of the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So as he's saying beware, he doesn't say be afraid of. He says beware. Be on guard. Know that the Holy Spirit, if the Holy Spirit is truly living inside of you, then you don't have to be afraid of what is being said out in the world, because the Holy Spirit guides us into all truth, because he has all of the wisdom and knowledge. The persuasive words. As I was sort of persuaded by this movie when I first saw it, and I'm not persuaded anymore because I understand the source. Once I understood the source, I didn't have to think about it anymore. It was like, well, come on. Either it's demonic or it's a lie. Or it's demonic and a lie, which I don't have to think through that. You know, it's like, it's a no-brainer. So be careful about persuasive words. and beware, lest anybody cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit. I want to end with the idea that this thought line in philosophy has deeply permeated America, especially in the business world. There was somewhere I read online that this movie gained popularity through get-rich-quick schemes. And it's like, well, yeah, that would be reasonable to see, because people who don't understand what we understand from the Bible and don't understand what's behind the philosophy can get easily caught up in it, because as soon as you start thinking about it, as soon as what you're looking for, you can find ways to confirm about anything. So, my message for you today is beware lest you be cheated through philosophy.